and welcome to the Logistics Tribe. I'm Boris Felgendreher, founder of the Logistics Tribe, and today we will talk about how to pick and quickly implement the right logistics robots. The demand for logistics robots is exploding, and so are the choices of different types of robots from different vendors. Our guest today, Victor Splitgerber, the founder and CEO of Vaku Robotics and his team, have set up a platform called Lots of Bots that showcases and allows you to buy or lease all kinds of different mobile robots for any logistics use case. In other words, Victor is a real expert on this topic and has a lot of great insights to share. Today's show is hosted by Marco Prügelmeier. Before we get started, a quick thanks to our sponsors, Grey Orange. Grey Orange automates warehouse operations through a combination of AI software and autonomous mobile robots. Grey Orange systems are in place at some very prominent companies such as IKEA or the Danish household goods and furniture retailer Jysk. If you're looking to get your warehouse and fulfillment operations to the next level with the help of autonomous robots and automation, you should definitely have Grey Orange on your list. Check them out at greyorange.com. And now here comes Victor Splitgerber from Vaku Robotics. Enjoy.
Hello, Victor. Welcome to the Logistics Tribe.
Hey, Marco. Nice to be here.
Yes, I'm looking forward to our talk. Actually, if someone would ask me, do you know someone who really knows the market for logistics robots and AMRs very well, then I would probably refer to you, Victor. Because with Vaku Robotics, you got a very good overview over the market. And maybe we start from here. What is Vaku Robotics doing? And where do you come from, Victor? What is your background?
Yeah, very good question. Actually, I was in the same position, right? That I was missing one person, one entity where I can go to and address my concerns, basically, with who is the right vendor, what is the right business case, what is the right use case to use mobile robots. And that's where I'm coming from in my mindset, because before founding Vaku Robotics, I was in Zalando designing myself solutions and with my team there, and also talking to a lot of industry experts and other companies that have exactly the same issue, right? So like the exact same pattern. There's an amazing industry. There's a big need for automation, but there's no overview. There's no one person you can go to, but you have to go to each individual vendor or each individual user to gather knowledge about the industry. And that was the founding idea of Vaku Robotics, to get to this point where you say, I have this one expert that gathers all the knowledge and presents it in a very simple, condensed way, like we do with Lots of Bots, 300 robots in the meantime, which is like really shows the progress of the industry and the website, of course.
Yeah, exactly. That's really a problem. And you basically solved it with Lots of Bots, right? So that's kind of a platform where you can go and look up all the robots in logistics. And but you can do it use case specific, right? Or what kind of robots do you have there and what different types? Maybe you can describe that a little bit.
The biggest problem, of course, starts a bit before that, actually like finding the right process and then just going into the filtering mode. So like there are different user categories, of course, that interact with the website. Some are super independent. They know exactly, I need a transport robot or I need a picking robot or commissioning robot because that's my task. That's what I'm looking for, or cleaning also, right? Others just feel the pressure that they do need to do something in terms of reducing cost, or, you know, like just cope with the situation that labor is not available. And so that is a bit more broad, so to say, and they're just, you know, like arrive on the website and roaming around and understanding the industry. We put a lot of articles to help them understand how this works and what is, for example, a good starting use case, right? And yeah, so like, and then you have the others that are really the experts that can apply all the filters, and boom, they get like 5 or 10 different vendors or like specific models that fit to their needs, like in terms of weight, in terms of form factor, in terms of payload and so on. Yeah.
And I think there is virtually everything from a cleaning robot to a disinfection robot, and also logistics transport robots or AMRs. Where that can bring your pallet from A to B. and things like that, right?
Yeah, it's actually really tailored to logistics and manufacturing. So like what happens the past years is that prices really went down for robotics, whereas prices for labor went really up. So basically now the big revolution in terms of robotization is happening in robotics. And just the other day, we really were discussing that it's not the first time that there is a technical revolution happening in robotics. If you think of the wheel itself, right, that was setting a big revolution in motion. And then there were other like types of revolution, like using a plane or internal combustion engine to transport goods or railroads, right? So now we are just in the middle, in the midst of this robot revolution, and that's happening in the warehouses and in the entire supply chain. And we are focusing really on the needs of companies and what they need today. And that's like a good starting use case that can be very simple, like cleaning, or that can be pretty broad, like really like a goods person, a commissioning solution that has like eventually hundreds of robots.
Do you see it really as this kind of a revolution that we see ongoing right now? Because lots of people would probably argue that we have had AGVs in logistics since the 50s. Yeah? So why is it a revolution now in your eyes?
Yeah, we had networks before the internet, right? And then we also had computation before the actual like personal computer. But prices matter, performance matter a lot, and that really is and the key factor. I mean, like if you look at the 50s, a project would be very, very expensive. You know, like only an exclusive group of users would be able to use it. Installation takes months and planning, if not years, right? All the development. Mm-hmm. And now it really reached a point where we go to a customer and you can install the robot and get it running in hours, right? I mean, like eventually, like even less than an hour, you have a simple process. Of course, like more complex solutions take a bit longer. But therefore, for me, it's a revolution, although like because like lots of the technology that are used in modern robots coming more from autonomous driving, that's their origin, right, from DARPA. And all the SLAM algorithms that were developed there are now used in mobile robots. Just in warehouses, it's never raining, never snowing, so you can apply them today.
And, yes, right. It's easier than on the streets, right?
Exactly. And that makes it super simple to use, super adaptable. You can use it around people, no problem with that. And yeah, that's and in chaotic environments, right? So like most of the traditional AGVs were used in manufacturing, where everything is very structured, no like dynamic situations, like people are running in front of the robot or AGV, but in logistics, it's an entire different story, right? It's pretty chaotic, or like chaotic in a sense, like that a lot of unpredictable things are happening, and it's a lot of ups and downs in terms of capacity and so on.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the price as one criteria here, and it's obviously it's a big criteria. If we're coming back to lots of bots, and you mentioned already the 300 bots, and take us a little bit further into this topic. How many companies do you have on the site? And what is the price range that you can start with a logistics robot nowadays?
We have over 150 suppliers on our website, and prices to purchase robots start roughly at 10,000 euro. Like that's the price you get it for, and you can install it yourself. So that's also the absolute price in the end. But you can also rent them. So rental would start eventually below 1,000 euro, for example, a pallet mover. That, of course, has a huge demand because that's exactly the threshold where it gets interesting to put it into logistics, because then the price for rented robot is equal to a price of a forklift plus driver, so to say. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what's the range is. Yeah.
And which countries are those 150 companies from, or is there a pattern that you can see on your platform where those robots come from, or where we have the latest increases, let's say? Because I read the other day that we probably have already more than 300 worldwide AMR companies right now, and probably it's increasing in a very high speed. So where do those companies come from in your knowledge?
So there's a huge traditional base of manufacturers from Europe that offer very high quality, robust systems that traditionally come raw from automotive, which is very good for very structured environments. And then, and then you have also a number of very emerging companies from Europe, like Agilox or SafeLock, that are really offer very, very solid products and also very good quality. Then you have a lot of Chinese companies. They are this is growing a lot. We are in constant chats with our Chinese partners via WeChat. That's the only way you can reach them. And then we are already 1 or 2 years ahead of what we're going to see in the market. Eventually, in terms of reliability, it's maybe not at 99.9%, but maybe just at 95%, which is okay for logistics oftentimes because you have a lot of redundancy or can build into the system a lot of redundancy. And prices are maybe a fifth, right? And so that sector is growing a lot. They also have take IP and copyright so serious. So that increases the speed of development and what comes from the Chinese market. And of course, you also have a lot of American companies, like US companies, that also have very good software, very good sales, very good systems. So we see a lot of logistics systems coming from US especially and also from China. So there are a lot of big players also the biggest. Yeah.
And as in one podcast, I heard you say that probably less than 1% of logistics operations or transports is automated right now, and there is a huge potential. Do you have more numbers on that or on the growing market somehow?
The market is growing at the moment at roughly between 20 and 30%, depending a bit we're looking. Eventually it can be also bigger. The 1% is what we're seeing now. If you go to any random warehouse, you don't find any robots. And if you don't look for them, you don't find them. It's really like finding a robotic system is like finding the needle in a haystack. And that's where the industry is today, right? So it's not there. But it will change rapidly, as I just said, right? We are now definitely at equal cost, if not lower, for robotics. It's just not so well known. That's why many people ask us for our opinion on certain solutions, because it is break even for many of the systems. And that will eventually go to a very high number. So I think definitely more than 90% will be automated with forklifts. We have a really aging society where people can't walk 20 kilometers per day in a warehouse. It's just not possible if you're 50 or 60. It's physically not possible. So you need those robotic systems. And so therefore, there's a huge pull from the market to get those systems into the warehouses. And that's why we eventually going to end up with a very high number. It's a revolution for sure.
Okay, interesting. And you actually can see it on your data, right, at lots of bots. But lots of bots is actually not the only thing Vaku Robotics is into. You're also actually planning AMR solutions, right? What is the reason for that?
The reason is there's very few experts and very little expertise in the companies to design such a solution. Usually there's this more abstract wish to automate for different reasons. And then the traditional approach was just going to a fair or hitting Google and looking for a solution. Now we have lots of bots, but often just the overview of pure robots doesn't provide a solution itself. So there we help. We have a lot of tools that we use, that we developed, like simulation, which is a great tool because that really helps people to think in terms of processes, to think in terms of their layout and so on, and out of the simulation, of course, the number of robots comes out as a result, and also the pure visualization already helps all stakeholders in a company to understand how a solution works. Otherwise, it's very abstract, and therefore we have a very high demand. So that's really what people are looking for now, to design their solution, to simulate them and then eventually finding the right business case and the right supplier for their problem or for their process.
What is a typical starter use case that customers of you would start with a robot use?
Most of our clients have existing operations. Oftentimes, they face a situation where they can't find forklift drivers. For them, it's very specific processes that they want to automate. Those processes can be big in terms of how many robots you would need to use there. So like, for example, pallet movers with 50 pallet movers or so. Or it can be also rather small as a starter use case where you just have an automated forklift, so a forklift without a driver that takes a pallet from A to B, typically from, for example, for an inbound process where pallets arrive unloaded from a truck and then they need to be distributed across the warehouse where some sort of VNA or so puts them in a high rate. And there are simple transport cases that are very suitable as a starter use case. Or you already have a full-fledged solution that's also like, that sometimes makes life a bit easier, right? To have like one solid solution that delivers instantaneously a good ROI, and that, of course, convinces also some skeptics.
What would be a typical ROI that you can reach with such a use case?
For purchased solution, regardless if it is a small or big solution, it's typically at 2 to 4 years if companies do it, right? So like most companies wouldn't do a project if it is more than 4 years. So like the desired ROI is between 2 and 4 years, or like desired probably lower than 2 years. But if you want to go lower than 2 years, most companies would rather rent a robot, and then the business case is a bit different. Also, many companies are starting to do that. There's a huge demand for that because it's more flexible and so on. And then you can go get below 1 year.
So with a rental robot, you could get below 1 year in an ROI. And is there a high number of companies that are renting out the robots, or are you doing that via your platform, or how would you describe that?
There is an increased demand. Most of the systems are still purchased. So also the vendors offer most of the times, or like just the purchase option. But there's an increase in rental options. So like if you look at a company like Locus Robotics, they basically just rent out robots. And as said, there are a number of other offerings that where rental becomes very interesting. Like most prominent, as I said, like automated forklift that you can rent for 1,000 euros, very attractive for many companies.
Oh yeah. What I really like about you guys is that you share a lot of information, in my point of view, valuable information, also on your website, not only lots of bots, but I saw also on your website recently published robot operations framework. What is that for, and what can I do with that?
This again comes from a very hands-on approach in terms of robotics, right? So like we again work alongside with the customer. We see us as partners of our customers, as the users of robotics, and we find solutions for their problems. And why we came up with this framework is that once a robot is deployed, it's not a done deal. Then it just starts. The operation starts, and eventually also, like, of course, the problems or the issues that you need to solve to have stable operations. And one of the things we encountered there was not only like the infrastructure that was not ready, like, for example, Wi-Fi setup and so on. So like if you install a robot, that's the first thing, like, is there a VPN? Is there a Wi-Fi connection? And that can take very long to set it up. Very long, right? So that's because it's a regulatory issue. Another point was like in terms of people, who's responsible, who has time, you know, like it wouldn't be the first time if you end up in a situation where it's like, bring the robot and the robot drives and, you know, like people walk away and expect that everything runs smoothly. But the reality is that you need somebody dedicated to be responsible for the robot. Although it works itself sometimes, you know, like you need some help, especially in the beginning when people just get started to use the robot.
Yeah, you need to set up the process around the robots, right? To make them work.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually the last point, right? Like the processes is key, right? And that's also like it's easier said than done, because like again, right, if you're in logistics, the main process might be simple, pretty easy, right? You go into warehouse, say, okay, like I transport pallet from A to B, but in reality, it's like, okay, like the forklift driver looks at the label, knows exactly already because it does it for years where it goes. And sometimes you have like this special pallet that always goes to another corner of the warehouse and so on, which is all not digitalized and also not standardized. And that then becomes very difficult to handle with a robot because they can't do those exceptions. You need to digitalize everything there. So that's why we came up with this ROF, Robot Operation Framework, which has three main pillars, which is team to address this issue in terms of training people correctly and also setting resources aside that take care of a robot. Then infrastructure to have the right infrastructure in place like Wi-Fi and other periphery. And then processes to really define and nail a process that should be automated with the robot. And that's in the TIP, T-I-P.
And you also share something like a typical schedule for integrating a POC, so a proof of concept. How would that look like? So if I start now with my first one or two robots on the shop floor.
The typical steps is actually to define really the proof of concept. And then it's like, it's a common understanding what is actually meant here with a proof of concept. What do we want to achieve, right? So that's really like the goal setting. And that takes actually most of the time, right? You would wonder why does it take so long? Like we speak here of 25 weeks, but most of it is really the design phase, get everyone involved on board. Where does it go from where to where? How does information flows in a fully digitalized system where warehouses are very manual today? That takes most of the time. And eventually you move on to the installation phase where the robot is installed and operated. But that is like of the overall time, that's the shortest time. That is on average 4 weeks. And eventually, like you also have, of course, this debrief and learning phase. You say, okay, like now we learned this. This is what we need to improve in terms of our operations and responsibilities. That is all very well described and very detailed in the robot operation framework. We put a lot of PDF, we put a lot of efforts into it, downloadable material and so on, checklists that people can download to really get started and to have like a handbook, a guide to help people get started. Because our thinking, of course, is we want to make mobile robots successful, right? We see there's a huge demand. We see that there are a lot of vendors who have great solutions, but getting it right from the beginning is very crucial, because we have seen it so often that companies are frustrated, did a test, didn't work because of different reasons. Because oftentimes the point is also that a vendor comes to a warehouse, says, I have the greatest solution. They just have one solution. That's why it's the greatest, right? And they want to sell it, regardless if it is your best fit or not. Like, mm-hmm. It's also pretty natural, right? And that results in a suboptimal situation because the hardware is not made for this environment oftentimes. And then the conclusion is not that the machine that I ordered or the robots that I ordered didn't work, but that robots are not suitable in our environment. And mm-hmm. And that has different reasons, and a part of it, like the implementation phase and the POC phase. But it's oftentimes like critical errors or mistakes were made in terms of scoping the POC and so on. That's where we made this checklist and framework.
So the schedule and the 25 weeks that you mentioned is basically for the overall project. So if you really start from scratch and set up the team and the purpose and everything and find out the right POC in your factory and set up the team and the processes that you need for the robot. And then you probably do the robot selection and then the robot one day arrives at the factory. Can you also describe this robot setup and how much time does this take in comparison to the whole 25 weeks schedule?
That is pretty unspectacular, I would say. Because there arrives a pallet or a box where the robot is stored in, and that is just unpacked, which takes half an hour or so. Then the connection to the Wi-Fi starts, which is like one of the most complex activities in the whole setup phase.
And, is it? Why is that?
Yeah, usually because there's a VPN and passwords and setups where like a VPN needs to be cut out or like a virtual LAN needs to be carved out of the regular Wi-Fi or wireless LAN. And that has a lot of legal implications or regulatory implications in a warehouse. And that can be complex because it's not like if you encounter a problem here, it can't be solved quickly. It's like when it goes back to the IT, which is a central unit and not in the warehouse and so on, they can't do anything in the warehouse. Usually they need to communicate to the headquarters and then goes to the next level and so on. So that's can be a hassle. But if it is prepared well, then that takes only a couple of minutes. And then the robot is switched on, set in motion. You take a laptop usually or any other device like a tablet or so, and then you can drive the robot like with a remote control. You drive it through the warehouse. On top of the robot is a LiDAR, which is a laser that measures distances to any given obstacle on a plane. And with that, you get a 2D map, right? You drive around the warehouse, you map the environment. So like the laser detects every obstacle and derives its map, where it should be driving. And then you have an editor, task editor, where you put your task, right? Saying, here's a pickup station, there's a drop-off station. And then you like can draw paths. Oftentimes the robot even finds its way itself without any input. That's why it's autonomous mobile robot, because it's autonomous. And of course, there's a lot of details here, like how a task triggered. But in the simplest case, it's with a tablet or laptop also. And yeah, after 5 hours, 8 hours, you usually have your task, and then you have a couple of days of on-ramp where you polish the things that you just see in the actual operations, and you're good to go.
If we are talking about an AMR, so an autonomous mobile robot, then we are talking about several hours for the setup, right? It depends, of course, on the square feet or meters that you have in your factory and so on, but it's probably done in a day, right?
Yeah, if it is smaller use cases. So like I said, right, there are different applications. So you have this full scale implementation where you install like 50 robots at once. That takes longer, of course. But then like you don't do a POC with that. If you do a POC, that's usually limited time, like 4 weeks or so, and limited scope in terms of integration. It's not connected to a warehouse management system or MES or so. It's just standalone. We call it sandbox solution that is not connected to other systems, just to the Wi-Fi to get jobs and to control it. And then this setup is really done in hours.
And you were talking now about an AMR, and what's the process for an AGV, or are you not taking care about AGVs at all in your platform, lots of bots, or is it only focused to AMRs?
There's no clear definition of what is an AGV or an AMR. So we also consider AGVs, traditional AGVs, so to say, and those two like technologies or just two names basically. And some would say it's exactly the same. For some, they put some differences. So we have both, definitely. And usually an AGV works more with some sort of markers on the ground or some sort of reflectors or magnetic stripes that you glue on the ground, which is used to navigate for the robot. And this process alone of putting those markers takes, of course, time. That's why the installation then is longer.
Would you prefer AMRs, or is it just the same for you, or does it depend on the use case?
It depends on the use case very much. So it's like really the details, like what is the exact process? And again here, right? So like that's why people come to us and request us so often, because this kind of analysis, what is really the best technology, who has this technology which is most suited for my environment, is a question that very few people can answer. Is if I would say, you know, like basically there's us who really has this broad overview of 150 supplier. There's no such second entity who has this broad knowledge. For example, if you have a lot of dynamic moving parts in your environment, like pellets that are 2.5 meter high, then like a LiDAR, a typical LiDAR, which is like this laser ranging, doesn't work because it just detects the pellets that are constantly moving, and then it doesn't tell the position to the robot. And by detecting those moving pellets, then you need something else as navigation technology. And so that is just an example, right? And there are hundreds of such factors that need to be considered when designing such a solution.
And after setting up the robot, you mentioned that then the task is not done yet. Yeah, you have to monitor the robot. And I think also there you have something in your toolbox at Vaku Robotics.
Yeah, we're working up the value stream or the task stream very nicely here, right?
I see that, yeah.
how do I find a good application? How do I set up my robot? And now we finally arrived, like my people are well trained, right? My robot is working, and now what actually happens, right? So my robot drives fully autonomous. I'm super happy. Robot operator is super happy. Basically goes drink coffee. And then after, I don't know, like half an hour, he comes back and like a big problem because some sort of process stopped, right? And then he says, okay, like what happened, right? He runs basically to the operator, says, hey, you know, like why is the process stopped? And then said, yeah, I don't have pellets here. And like, wow, where's the pellet? My robot was supposed to bring the pellets in. Of course, the people don't know. And then the operator wonders, where's my robot actually? And like he roams the entire route where the robot could possibly drive. After, I don't know, like 15 minutes or so, he finally is the robot or she, and tries to debug what actually happens. And was like simple, super simple error. It's pretty dusty in the warehouse, and the sensor got dusty, and he just needs to remove the dust from the sensor, and the robot is back operational. Just the whole thing caused like a breakdown of 1 hour of operations, which is of course costly. And there can be many reasons for the robot stopping, like not only dust, but pellet or any obstacle in the way or so, or like a misplaced pellet, or it's sensitive. And if people are used to manual operations, they don't know how to work with a robot that is pretty rigid in its behavior compared to a human. And that's why we came up with VakuSense, which is real-time monitoring tool, super simple to use for any person. If there is the persons in the warehouse and not trained operators, right? They usually forklift drivers, and you want to retain those people in your warehouse, so you can't give them very complex interfaces oftentimes. And you don't want to give them five different tools to operate five different robots. So that's why we came up with VakuSense, which is one interface for all the robots in your warehouse that is super easy to use on a tablet, on a smartphone. It gives you instant information on your process and your performance of your robot if you need to adjust, for example, with a heat map, which is a very nice feature. It shows you where the robot drives slower and where obstacles or errors occurred, and really help your root cause analysis. And was a case that I just described. It, instead of 1 hour later, the robot operator was finally able to recover the robot, it would instantaneously send an SMS or Microsoft Teams message on the mobile phone of the operator in the same second, basically, when the error occurred, within detailed description of what happened. So like your robot stands in aisle number 20, position X, and the sensor has an error, please remove a dust from the lens. And that's how detailed it gets. And that of course allows to shorten the time from, I don't know, interruption of my process of 1 hour to only a couple of minutes. Sounds super simple, but that makes the whole process and the whole startup and setup of such a robot operation much smoother. People are much more motivated to support such a system if they understand what it's doing, and projects are much more successful. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, I always compare it to a cleaning robot. If I look at my cleaning robot driving around through my living room, and then it has this random pattern of driving through my living room, and I think like, oh my God, now it passed again through the big dirt and it just really cleans just around it, and I can't tell where to go, right? I don't have the possibility to influence. And people in the warehouse often feel the same, right? They don't have access to the machine. So that causes all sorts of problems. And that's what we bridge here with AcuSense.
Yeah, and only what you monitor, you can improve, right? So and that really makes sense for me. How do you manage it to connect the different companies and the different robot types into your AcuSense tool?
It's oftentimes driven by the customer because they love the simplicity. They face the situation where they onboard different robots. They usually start with one system and then they see the mentioned problems, right? Oftentimes that's then driven by the customer, but also vendors come to us and support an integration saying, hey, you know, like I want to have an easier time selling more robots essentially, right? Or like getting more robots into the clients and helping them to be operational. And that's, we developed a super simple API that only takes a couple of hours to integrate. We have big brands like Mir already connected, and that's connecting the new system is a matter of really just hours, if not really like shorter than this. Like biggest problem is always Wi-Fi again, because it's a cloud solution. But then like the robot's already connected, you just get an account and then you're good to go. At the moment, we offer this even for free because we really feel the urge to support successful implementations, because that helps the industry as a whole, and that's what we are aiming for.
For free for the vendors, so that they can connect their vehicles to your AcuSense, or for free for the customer side that is buying the robot?
We offer it even for free for the customer side. Right, mm-hmm. So we really like believe in helping people and giving for getting back. So like we first like really want to give and improve systems, improve operations with robots to, yeah, like also create some motivation for implementing even more robots, for expanding, and there we can also be helped. That's really our story here.
And we forgot about talking about lots of bots platform and the business model behind that, because I think it's also free for both sides. So you can actually use it for free if you want to find a robot. But you also, if you're a vendor, you can actually bring in your robot for free. Is that right?
That's right. So our goal is to offer a full overview of the industry. It's not complete yet, as you said, right? We have 150 vendors. Globally, there are maybe 300 actively in Europe. Maybe there are a couple more, but I guess we are fairly complete here. And we just want to give the full overview to the customer. That's really our purpose. Of course, we have some premium profiles, a bit more content for premium partners, but in terms of search and finding robots, doesn't make a difference for the customer. Mm-hmm. So you see a pattern, right? So it's really like helping customers, helping the industry getting started, because we believe in making the pie much bigger instead of, you know, like increasing our share of the pie in the first place. So believing in making the pie bigger, and that's why we offer AcuSense for free for now, and like also lots of bots for free. And eventually, of course, there's some revenue to be made. We put a lot of efforts in those things, but that is not necessarily the first step.
Mm-hmm. I really love that. So we were talking about the robot selection process, where you offer lots of bots. Then the planning process of POCs in your factory, where you actually offer the robot operations framework, right? And then the robot monitoring afterwards, where you offer AcuSense as a tool. So this sounds almost like a closed loop. What are your next steps in the AcuSense world?
That is kind of a closed but also open loop. So, but it's definitely a continuous loop, because what we're seeing happening is that regardless if you start or customers start with a small implementation or big implementation, they're adding more, right? So like once a project is successful, it motivates to do more, because it really like boosts confidence in the technology. And then, yeah, like the logical extension, you start, I don't know, with a cleaning robot or pallet mover, then you go to a drone, or you go to like a bigger system also, and then you want to have like one interface to connect all of those. And we really like believing in the growth story of orchestrating different solutions, and that's like really like see this as a big use case, and that's where we are going, right? We providing more tools to get robots started and also going through this loop of adding more robots, getting them stable, optimizing them, and being on the sides of our customers is what we are doing and what we continue to do.
Victor, one last question. If we take a look into the future, let's say 10 years from now, so how do you imagine robots in logistics and the future of logistics in overall? So what is your opinion there?
I believe that humans will be still in the driver's seat for sure, right? So like, it's not that implementing robots means kicking out humans, so to say, right? But it's really like a story of getting more productivity out of the people we have, right? So like, we have this aging society. We have like a richness of people in the warehouses that we want to use and improve their conditions, so to say, and working conditions, right, in terms of heavy straining tasks. And so I believe in a future where one person can operate 10, 20 robots easily, right, from the place maybe where they like. And like also in a life where many tasks that are done now manually get automated so that we can focus more on social and creative tasks. That's our vision, actually.
That means home office for logistics operators is part of the future. Okay.
Maybe not, right? Whoever likes, I love home office, but many people likes offices. So like, of course, you know, like people have options, love their offices and they can go to offices.
Victor, it was really good talking to you. Thank you very much. And I hope that with our interview here, we found a lot of fans for robotics in logistics. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Right. That was the Logistics Tribe podcast episode with Victor Splitgerber from Vaku Robotics. If you enjoyed today's show, please follow us and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any of the future episodes. I'm Boris Felgendreher. Until next time.